It's important in life to get to the fundamentals of who we are and what we are called to do in life. And this gospel reading reminds us of the fundamentals of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose over the centuries, Christians would reflect on these fundamentals as the first disciples were called by the Lord. The first fundamental is to be a follower of Jesus. Disciples would sit at the feet of a rabbi, for sitting was the posture of authority, a posture of teaching, and then they would follow in the footsteps of the rabbi to look at his teaching and example. It may seem obvious that disciples of Christ are followers of Christ, but we need to remember that to be a follower of Christ is that our allegiance is to him first and foremost, and it informs our other allegiances. That is why you have heard me say that in making decisions about every aspect of our life, including during this pandemic, that we approach it first as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not according to any other perspective. To look at the teaching and example of Christ in approaching how we are concerned about one another as a community. We just don't think about ourselves. But we think about ourselves and our relationship with the entire community. And so all other allegiances fall behind the allegiance to the Lord Jesus. And he calls us to follow him. The decision to follow Christ is the initiative of Christ. And we recognize that calling and receive it. And the readings tell us that we should not make excuses and say that we are inadequate to the task, that it belongs to other people. It belongs, for instance, to the clergy and the consecrated religious life to be really committed disciples of the Lord. All of us have the capacity to do that. We have been baptized. The very life of God comes to dwell within us. The grace of God has cleansed us from the original sin of disobedience, has given us the power of his love to be able to resist the inclination to sin. We've been given the gifts of faith in God to entrust our lives to his loving care. Hope in God to trust in his promises and in the way he will fulfill them. And to love God and our neighbor as we love ourselves. We've been given the capacity to live according to this calling. And we cannot give the Lord excuses because he has worked through men and women who were not perfect across the centuries. But they believed. They were called by the Lord. And they worked with the same grace that is working within us. Isaiah had a vision of the Lord. And he heard the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." In the original language, there was not a word for the superlative, holiest, so they had to say it three times. And in that vision, Isaiah saw his inadequacy. He said, "I'm an unclean man among unclean people." But God takes the initiative through the angel to purify Isaiah. So that when God asks, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah was able to say, "By the grace of God, here I am, send me." St. Paul persecuted the church when his name was Saul. If you read in the Acts of the Apostles, after the stoning of Stephen, one of the first deacons, Saul consented to it. He watched the others stone Stephen to death while he collected the coats. And then he was involved in going to fellow Jews who had become Christians and going into their houses and dragging them out, bringing them before the courts and putting them into prison. He was going to do the same thing on the way to in Damascus. But on the way to Damascus, he has a profound encounter with the Lord Jesus. He is converted. He's named Paul now. People even marveled, who is this person? He was the one persecuting us. Now he is testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. And St. Paul knew that he was not qualified in a sense, but he said the grace of God was effective in him. He didn't deserve to be called an apostle, but he was called by God to do that because he had responded to the Lord, trusted in him as Savior, and was inviting others to do the same. So we can say to St. Paul, well, who am I to invite people to follow the Lord? I'm not like you, St. Paul. St. Paul would tell you, I'm a sinner just like you. And I've been converted just like you are being converted. And it was from that experience that I called people to Christ by the testimony of my life, St. Paul says. The same thing can happen within us, for the grace of God will never be ineffective in the lives of those who cooperate with him. St. Peter, after the miraculous catch of fish, jumped into the water and said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And yet the Lord said, "Don't be afraid. Cooperate with me, and I will make you fishers of men," meaning men and women, of course. And Peter would follow Jesus, but he would mess up too. He would tell Jesus at one point that Jesus was speaking nonsense when Jesus said this was how he was going to accomplish the salvation of the world, that he was going to have to take up his cross, be crucified on it, die, but on the third day he would rise. Peter took him aside and said, "Lord, this is nonsense." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking as human beings do, not as God does." Jesus said to Peter, "Get back in the postureship of discipleship, to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in his teaching and example, for his grace will never be ineffective." And Peter continued to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, not understanding everything. When the majority of the disciples left Jesus after the miracle of the loaves and the fish, in which Jesus then talked about himself offering his holy body and blood to us, and that we would have to partake of him to have life, the majority of the disciples left Jesus. And as Peter heard those footsteps, he heard the voice of Jesus say to the apostles, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter said, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And Peter continued to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. But again, he would make missteps, so that when the Lord took up his cross, he denied the Lord three times, totally and utterly, claimed that he did not know Jesus, but he repented and he fulfilled his calling as the head of the church, as the chief apostle. He continued to bear witness to Christ, even to the point of being crucified in Rome. And it is said because Peter did not feel he should be crucified in the same manner of his Savior, that he was crucified upside down. We cannot turn to St. Peter and say, "We're not qualified. We've tried to follow in the footsteps of Christ, but we've made missteps. And so I cannot really give witness to the Lord." For the word martyr in the Greek means witness. Now, we may not face death because of our faith, as St. Peter did and as St. Paul did, by the blade of a sword. But we are called to give witness to Christ until we are called to see our God face to face. And we cannot say to St. Peter, well, we've made missteps, therefore we are disqualified. St. Peter would say, he didn't disqualify me, and his grace was not ineffective in my life as I continued to trust in him, to turn away from my sins, and strive to be faithful to the gospel. The fundamental of discipleship is, first of all, to follow Christ. Then it is to do so within the fellowship of his church. Those two concepts cannot be separated. Jesus called the disciples to follow him within the context of a community. James and John would join Peter, the sons of Zebedee, as part of the community that Jesus was building. And so would men and women join him in those pages of the Gospels. And after Pentecost, 3,000 men and women would join. It would grow to 5,000. And certainly now it's grown to over a billion around the world. To be a follower of Christ is also to say we are living in fellowship with the church. We cannot separate the two. And when people say that they are spiritual but not religious, what they're saying really is that they don't want to be part of a faith community. They think it's an institution that is wrought by put together by imperfect people, and they just don't want to associate with imperfect people, as if they had floated out of heaven to make that judgment. Now, we're called to repent. We're called to repair scandal. We're called to undergo conversion. The Lord calls us to do that. But we cannot then look at the church and say, I know that Jesus never gave up on the church, but I'm going to give up on the church. That's not following in Jesus' footsteps. Do we see in the Gospels Jesus giving up on the church after the resurrection? Many of his disciples fled after he had taken up his cross. He could have just said, okay, John the Evangelist, I'll keep you. Mary, my mother, I'll keep you. The others who were with me at the cross, I'll keep you. All of you others, you can go. He did not. He even gave time for Thomas the Apostle to wrestle through his doubts. But in the end, he told Thomas, now stop disbelieving and believe. Jesus never gave up on the church, nor should we. And if we say we can follow Christ without him, without the church, we're really not following in the Lord's footsteps. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you're going to hear that from others. And I would gently invite them to consider that if Jesus never gave up on the church, what makes one better than Jesus? Because if one says they're better than Jesus, then that's idolatry. And maybe people don't intend to think that way, but that is the consequence of thinking that way, that I don't need the church. I just follow Jesus on my own. Fundamentals of Christian discipleship is to follow Christ. He has our primary allegiance, and he informs all the other things we do in life. We follow him within the context of the church. He calls us to follow him within the context of a community. And this is the context in which he forms us to be like him. He forms us to be like him. Peter said, I'm inadequate to the task. I don't want to be chosen. Jesus said, do not be afraid. I will make you what I call you to be. Jesus says he will make us like him if we continue to cooperate with him as members of his church. His grace is never ineffective, but it takes the path of step by step, by step, by step, looking at the teaching and the example of Christ. And how does that happen? By giving time to consciously be in the presence of Christ, to learn his teaching and example, reading his word in the pages of the Gospels, listening to the testimony of men and women in the Acts of the Apostles and in the letters of the New Testament, reading from the lives of the saints, even listening to the testimonies of one another who are striving to become saints. Jesus continues to form us to be like him. And we should never, ever get discouraged if we make a misstep. The saints before us show us that we should not give up, that we should always, once again, give of ourselves wholly and unconditionally to the one who continues to give himself wholly and unconditionally to us. Just like those first disciples dropped everything, made a break from their past and followed Jesus, we too make the same decision each day. His grace is never ineffective in the lives of those who trust in him and believe that his love and mercy can transform them to be like him.